Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California, asking you to join us.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We are in the New Testament, which is at the very end of Matthew, the last couple of chapters in Mark, and last couple of chapters in Luke. We happen to be in Luke, and we read where Jesus breathed his last. And of course, when the New Testament is not in effect until the death of the testator, and Jesus, the testator, the one who gave us the New Testament, breathed his last in Luke 23:46. And they buried him. And we noticed something. We went on for quite a while about this. And we were talking about, what about the men and the women, Andy? We were just had a discussion about this off mic.
That the women weren't frightened to go to the tomb. The men didn't even think about it. They didn't even come over to the tomb. But the women made preparations for Jesus' burial and with spices and ointments, and they wanted to make sure that everything was done right for his burial and took great care in the detail of it and got up as soon as they could get there and abide by the rules of the Sabbath. They got there. And all these things, and that story in Luke 24, 1 through 11 is about the women. And if you notice, it says they, and then it lists some names at the end. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary of James, and the other women. So it doesn't tell us how many because it puts other in there and we can't come up with a number right there, but we know at least there's 1, 2, 3, at least 5. Women. So there was a group of them. It wasn't just one lady that came over there.
In Matthew, it says, and many women were there beholding from afar. This is Jesus when he was dying on the cross.
Right.
And this had happened just before he, this happened in verse 50 or 51, the difference between the Old and the New Testament. He yielded up the Holy Spirit in verse 50. And the temple was torn top to, the veil of the temple was torn top to bottom in verse 51 of Matthew. That would be 27. Then it talks about the women. We know Peter denied him 3 times, but the women were, they were beholding from afar who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. And then it talks about these ladies, and later on in verse 61 of 27, and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher when they rolled a great stone against the door and departed. You don't see the men around here. Here are the women. Then the first day of the week, and this is chapter 28, of Matthew in verse 1, and the first day of the week began at dawn toward the—
You said chapter 8?
28.
Okay.
Chapter 28, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to view the sepulcher, and lo, there was a great earthquake, for the Lord's angels descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. So here they are again. Here are the women, no men. And this is just really interesting to focus on this for a, you know, for a change. And I don't remember exactly what Mark said at the—
And Mark in chapter 15, verse 44, I'll just start there, and it says, "And he brought a linen cloth and laid him down," this is Joseph of Arimathea, "and taking him down, wound him in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of rock. And he rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene."
Now you're in chapter 16, verse 1.
"And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun was risen."
Now, who is they?
The women.
Those women, Mary Magdalene.
The women are still.
Okay.
"And they were saying among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they behold, and the stone is rolled back, for it was exceedingly great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right, arrayed in a white robe. And they were amazed. And he said to them, be not amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazarene, the crucified one. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where he laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he goes before you to Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid."
Then verse 9 continues.
"Now when he was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went, reported to them that he had been with them, and they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had seen her, disbelieved. And after these things, he was manifest." Anyway, it goes on to the other story. So there's all the different things that the different pieces of the story of the women. If you assemble them from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we get a better and better story with all the pieces as we go along.
Why don't you finish reading that in Mark? Okay. We have not looked at the comparison, you know, the parallel Bible Gospels,
right,
with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Not John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke are parallels. They give you the same picture from a different angle, like a stereoscopic. All of a sudden, you see things in 3, now 4 dimensions.
Yeah, they're not different stories. They're the same story with more details. It just keeps growing.
Width and depth and height. So you got a 3-dimensional object, but now you got 4, time. 4 different views of this. So go ahead.
Okay. "And after these things, he was manifested in another form to 2 of them walking as they were proceeding into the country. And they went away and reported to the rest, and they neither believed them."
Now, we're reading the last verses 14 to 20 through Mark, the last chapter, Mark 16.
"And afterward, he was manifested to the 11 themselves as they sat at meat, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not in them that had seen him risen from the dead. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Who has believed and is baptized shall be saved, but who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that have believed. In my name they shall cast out demons, speak with tongues, and in their hands they shall take up serpents. And if they drink aught deadly, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then when the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed."
Isn't that interesting that last word, is the foundation principles? Well, back to the book of Luke, the last chapter. We're in verse 12. The next context is verse 12. Let's just go ahead and read starting there, and we'll break that up. We'll go to maybe around verse 21, okay?
Okay, 12 to 21?
Yeah.
But Peter arose and ran unto the tomb, and stooping over, he sees the linen cloths by themselves, and he departed, wondering at what was come to pass. And lo, two of them were going that very day to a village called Emmaus, which was 80 furlongs from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other all of the things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned each other, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden from what that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What words are these that you exchange one with another as you walk? And they stood still, sad-faced. And one, Clopas by name, answering, said to him, Dost thou not alone sojourn in Jerusalem, and not know the things come to pass therein these days? And he said to them, What things? And they said to him, Those concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a man, a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him unto the sentence of death and crucified him. But we hope that he it was who would redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass.
Now here were these two people. One, it only gives the name of one of them. Isn't that interesting? Cleopas. And Peter had gone to, he'd gone home. He departed to his house. He went home. And Cleopas and the other one, they're heading, it says they're going, where are they going? They're walking along for anyway for 7.5 miles. And so they were talking, and we're figuring that it's going to take, what, a couple, 2-3 hours, Andy? Yeah. Just a walk. And they were talking about the things about Jesus, this prophet, the man prophet, mighty indeed, and word, his image, the things he did, not just what he said, but everything he did, and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to die. They didn't like him. But we hoped that it was him, that it was Jesus that would redeem Israel. So they were having this conversation. And you're going to continue reading in verse 21 of Luke 24.
But we hoped it was he who would redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of ours amazed us, having been early at the tomb, and when they found not his body, came saying they had also seen a vision of angels who say he is alive. And certain of those with us went to the tomb and found it thus, just as the women said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew near unto the village where they were going, and he made it as though he would go further. And they urged him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in to abide with them, and it came to pass, when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the loaf and blessed, and breaking it, he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Was not our heart burning while he spoke to us in the way as he opened the scriptures to us?
So here is Jesus walking with Cleopas and his friend that we don't know who it is. And here's Jesus explaining that they had heard the account of the women that said that they had seen a vision of him. This is the very first recorded communion meal in the New Testament, and they were taking it with Jesus himself. You ever thought about that? How huge is that?
And look, it is wherever two are more, and how many were there?
Three.
Was the right amount.
Yeah,
it was
exactly
the right amount. No, I haven't thought of it like that, but yeah, I thought of the two right away.
Well, I didn't think about it your way.
Okay, good.
See, there it goes. It just doubled right there with what I saw and with what you saw. And they are eating bread with Jesus, and they don't see it until he broke bread. And how important is that time? They continue steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, fellowship, which is communion, koinonia, and breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at the importance of just breaking that bread. It's got to be unleavened bread.
A long time ago, I mean years ago, I was told this in the beginning, that when we have communion, that Jesus will show himself to us in a different way at that time than in any other time.
It changes.
It's a special place that we get to see him.
The meal changes immediately at the breaking of bread, but everything has to be done decently and in order. There's that scripture that says that. Remember reading that? Let all things be done decently, but in its proper order.
And something happens to people's eyes at that point.
Their eyes.
They're opened, and they know Jesus in another way. That is a big thing.
But when back here where they were walking together, when Cleopas and his friend were walking with Jesus that 7.5 mile period, something was happening, and it was in their hearts. Their hearts were burning, but something about their flesh was messing them up.
So the hearts get burning, but the eyes didn't get opened.
And their mind didn't get it either. Their minds were not open either, their soul or mind.
Right. There's a whole lot of things sitting right here in front of us if we want to look at them.
This is huge.
It is.
If you ever do the study of communion, if you look at all the places, it's found in the Gospels how to do it. It's found in 1 Corinthians 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And 15 is good too because it portrays his resurrection. So there's 6 scriptures that are wonderful scriptures that portray this, but you've got to also look at communion in the Gospels and also in the book of Acts, which is what we're going to, in this journey of walking, following Jesus, come after me, he says, is the first thing in Matthew 4, 19. He said, first change your mind because the kingdom of the heavens is at hand. So this, in this new kingdom, we're going to take communion in a new way. And this is the first time that they took communion in the kingdom of the heavens because Jesus had died and opened that. The heavens are now open to a person in the kingdom of the heavens to take communion in this new way, exactly what happens right here. And Jesus, who's going to be with you when you're taking it? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you have communion with Jesus. We have communion with the Holy Spirit because our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But this is the place where it shows we have communion with Jesus.
So now that we've talked about all of this, let me go back and read this previous little piece and you'll see what I'm talking about. Starting in verse 13 of chapter 24. And lo, two of them were going that very day to a village called Emmaus, which is 70 furlongs or 7.5 miles from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other. Notice how that's right in there. They were communing with each other of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed again and questioned together that Jesus drew near and went with them. But their eyes were not holding that they should know who he was.
Their eyes weren't seeing it. They were not seeing it.
And so here they were communing with each other, but then all of a sudden, when they communed with Jesus at this meal, their eyes were opened. Now they know him.
Know. Gnosis. Know is the same.
There's the word.
Word that when we are married and they knew the husband and wife, they know each other and a baby is produced. But that is a physical relationship in the flesh. This is a spiritual relationship in our hearts. The heart was burning. And this is when we gnosis and with epigenosis.
So this burning didn't get them to recognize Jesus. They just knew something when he talked.
Yeah.
Their heart was burning. kind of like in a meeting when you have a teaching, your heart may burn, but when you have a meal with Jesus, he becomes visual to you.
You know, when a husband and wife marry, if it's a true union, there is, and they you know each other, our fleshly hearts burn because we become one flesh with our wife. This, in communion, is where we become one mind and one heart with Jesus. Marriage is one flesh. We're one flesh. So you can't even compare it. It'd be weird if you tried to compare it that way. But it is much higher. Emotions aren't involved, but the love of God is involved, which the agape love, there's no emotions involved in that. The love of a husband and wife is a thumos love. It's a physical, it has to do with our flesh. And our minds can be involved too, and we could be one mind, which you have to learn that later, how to become one-minded with your wife, because we certainly don't listen to them at the right time sometimes. You know, this we're a bunch of guys talking right here, and we're learning from experience how sometimes God works with them and tells them, and he doesn't tell us, and he sees how we treat our wives. Do you think that's going to happen?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's
so in a roundabout way, if you don't listen to your wife who has something from the Holy Spirit, your essence not listening to God, and he says, if you don't listen to me, I'll cut your prayers off. Now, I get that.
Yeah.
Right. That's doing the math on it right there.
He's checking you out.
Like, similar to where it's like he had been raised from the dead, he showed that to the women and would see if the women were going to, or if they would believe the women, and they didn't believe the women.
So the women believed him.
Well, the women believed, but the men were like,
that's
oh, we don't believe
you.
To
say about this right now. The women believed him.
Yeah.
And fought to try to make the men believe him.
Yeah, and they treated him like a lesser.
Yeah.
And so when Jesus vanished out of the sight, they said to each other, wasn't our heart burning within us while he spoke to us and opened the scriptures to us? Now, but he spoke to them and opened the scriptures. That's what, when the scriptures get open to us, that's what makes our hearts start burning.
That is that third eyesight.
Gil, you and I had a conversation last night about this when I first started coming around.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking into the Bible to the best of my ability, and God sent you, Andy, sent you to that coffee shop. And the first thing you asked me was, are you a student of the Bible? And I said, I'm trying to be. And so after we got done talking, we talked about John the Baptist and all these things. And it was like my heart was burning within me. I took that home and unloaded that on my twin and said, oh, John the Baptist was this, and God did all these things with a purpose. And that it was like that. The scriptures were being opened to me, and my heart was burning within me, like, this is truth. And I remember that. And that's what makes me think of when he's opening the scriptures to them. Wasn't our hearts burning within us? And they were understanding those things.
I saw the same thing when I met a man of God that changed my life.
There was no going back.
So this,
no
this going process back. Of, no of going the back. Heart burning yeah. is something that happens to people that are told these things
right.
through other people and, that have followed God.
And yet it wasn't an emotional thing. There was something deep down inside where the emotions are over. As soon as the emotion's over, then that's over. This is something different. This is when you start a fire, you kindle a fire, and all of a sudden it just burns hotter and hotter. The path of the just,
the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Now, we can't talk about the eyesight to be able to, when their eyes were opened, but when we get into John, wait till you see now the comparison. So there are some things that are parallel, all the way through all the Gospels. John is going to be so different, it's going to bring out a whole new thing that we will be able to talk. We will be able to go into how our eyesight even changes. So this is showing it happens, but wait till you see the details on it.
This introduces it. Something happened to the eyes.
Wait till you get to John and we go through this whole story and get to the tomb. And it's a real eye-opener, shall we say. So where do we leave off? Their eyes were opened. Okay, we read that whole context. Was there anything more before we went on? Their eyes were opened at breaking of bread. And another thing I did after I got baptized, I took communion that night or the next night before I went back home to Grants Pass. It was in Seattle that this happened. I'd never had that happen ever before. I went right into a private meal in somebody's house where there was a teaching first, and then we ate together, and the breaking of unleavened bread, and then at the end, the cup and worship prayer. And then I drove home a way different person. And we did it exactly like this scripture right here. It's the first time I'd ever done that. After Gilbert died, it says, come after me. So I had to do exactly the same thing Jesus did in Matthew chapter 3 and in Luke and in Mark. I had to do exactly the same thing. So Gilbert laid his life down, and then I don't even have the same name. I don't know what my new name is. My wife didn't either, so she kept calling me the old name, Gilbert or Gil.
Better than Hey You.
Well, maybe sometimes that too. No, she never did that. Okay, Luke, the last chapter, 24, 33 through 35.
And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 collected together and those with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they rehearsed the happenings on the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. And as they spake these things, he himself stood in their midst and saith unto them, peace to you. But they, terrified and becoming affrighted, supposed they beheld a spirit. And he said to them, why are ye troubled? And wherefore do questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me, and see, because a spirit hath not flesh and bones, and ye behold me having. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, have ye here aught to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them.
And he proved by eating that he was not a spirit. He still had flesh. He hadn't risen yet. He was resurrected, but he had risen. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com, or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.